Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Call me Lord. As I wrote that down today, or yesterday on that, just to flesh it out, I said, call me Lord, and I thought, no, it needs the comma in there. So call me Lord. It's easy for us to say this in our world today. Even with all of our problems that we face in our modern world. And today in our gospel, we have the story of the calling of the first four disciples, which is Andrew, Simon, John, and James, the first apostles of our Lord. But I really like what our psalm has to say today about waiting for God to call us. And this is verse 5 and 6, if you want to read it. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. That's a strong message, folks. I don't care if you're an apostle or not an apostle, whatever. But that is really talking to us, I think. He is my rock. He's my salvation and my fortress. I will not be shaken. Now, did this apply to the first apostles too? We know that John was the only apostle to die from old age. But what are the rest of them? If I say, what about the rest of the apostles? How did they die? How many of you can even say one? Say it again? Well, they were, but how? Gene?
Peter and someone who's hung upside down.
That's right. Okay, we'll talk about that
in a minute.
Who was the first apostle to be killed?
Stephen.
How?
Stoned to death.
And stoning was an awful death. And it was reserved for people who were heretics, or who had done an awful, horrible sin. Well, what about the rest of them? Well, let's look at this. As Gene said, Peter died, we know, between 64 and 68 AD during Nero's persecution of the Christians. He was crucified upside down on a cross. Now, how do we know that? Well, because it's in Scripture. He asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy enough to be crucified straight up. Now, here's the thing. Underneath St. Peter's in Rome, they were doing some excavation 10 years ago, maybe. And as they broke through, I mean, we have the crypts down there, but they found that it was something shaky. They got down there, and there's a first century church underneath the crypts at the Vatican. And in that, the bones of a man who was crucified upside down. So the bones of Peter are actually in Peter's tomb. You know, so it's those kind of things I find interesting. Andrew was crucified on what is called the St. Andrew's Cross. St. Andrew's Cross is an X, okay? And if you've ever seen modern Russia, they have that X in the flag because Russia is patron saint is Saint Andrew. It took him several days to die, and he actually preached while he was hanging on the cross. James, the son of Zebedee, he died in AD 44 after he was beheaded by King Agrippa I. He had launched a new persecution of Christians, and he was the first martyr from among the original 12 apostles. John was the only one where he died, and he died between AD 100 and 105. Not bad for a man of that age, was it? Philip died in Hierapolis, Turkey by hanging in AD 80. Bartholomew was also known as Nathaniel. He ministered in Armenia and was flayed to death by knives in India. Matthew. All right. Matthew died a martyr's death in Ethiopia. Thomas, Didymus, which means the twin. He died near Madras, India in AD 70, and he was killed with a spear. When I was in Cincinnati on my vicarage here, one of the things that was part of my vicary responsibilities was at what is called the Edge House, which is Lutheran Campus Ministry. And what we did is every Wednesday night we had a meal for non-Christian graduate students. So we had people from India, we had people from China, Vietnam, many of them working on a master's, some of them already had doctorates, were working on postdoctoral work. One of the guys from India was a Christian, and the church that he attended in India was one of the churches started by Thomas the Apostle. It's been there for 2,000 years. And if you were watching the news here about a year ago, Muslims had started to blow up those churches in India, in southern India. All right, Thaddeus. He was martyred in Persia. He died via arrows. What is Persia? Iran. By the way, Iran and Iraq were two of the strongest Christian countries there were. Isn't that sad? And then finally, Judas Iscariot. He hanged himself. His death is the only one that is really recorded in the Bible. But the thing about Judas, and I thought a lot about this, is the fact that Judas had to do what he did, right? And I don't think he just did it to be mean. I think he and Jesus actually had to work that out. And I got to him so much that it was just awful. If we were called to witness as the first apostles, would we have that same kind of commitment to Jesus as the first one did? Good question, isn't it? I don't know if I could. You know, and I'm a man of God, but, you know, it's one of those things. When you're facing certain death, do you have the fortitude? Is he enough of you rocking the fortress that you could stand up? Luther did. Here I stand. I can do no other. But yet, our world today, Doug and I were just talking about this, needs the church to stand up like this, doesn't it? Well, if our world is really changing, I think it's time to share something with you from the Congressional Record in 1928. Congressional Record in 1928 is 45 things that were read into the record for the planned communist takeover of the United States. And I mean, I actually got on the Congressional Record and put in communist takeover and this popped up. We're not going to go through all 45, but I want to share with you some of the important ones. This is number 4. Permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Clinton sold, what was it, a third of our uranium supplies to Russia, and they also sold all the modern submarine technology to both Russia and China. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. Do away with all loyalty oaths, so the military would not take an oath to support the Constitution. Capture one or both of the political parties of the United States. Well, we know what is happening is that the Democratic Party has got a socialist platform. However, did you see the news this week about Mitch McConnell? He's married to a Chinese woman who is doing business with communist China. Folks, it's on both sides of the aisle. Oh, yeah. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Is that happening today? Yep. Give control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, and put the party line in textbooks. Here's a good one. Use student riots to format public protests against the programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Infiltrate the press. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Now, folks, this was put in, remember I said 1928. Is that happening in today's world? Yeah. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a quote-unquote religious crutch. That's right out of the Communist Manifesto. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on grounds that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Heard that? I've preached on that in here before. There's more of them, but I'm going to do one more. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Folks, I've got another 10 here that I was going to do, but I don't need to. Folks, you can Google this and look at it yourself. But to me, this is scary. So as a church, what do we do? Do we stand up like Luther and say, here I stand, I can do no other? Which means that we'd be acting like the first apostles, wouldn't we? So what's the danger of that? You could lose your life too. Folks, like I said, this was put into the Congressional Record in 1928. I hope, I pray that this is not the case for our country. But I see too many parallels between this and what's happening in our modern country. Now, folks, you know I don't do a sermon like this too often. And I worked on this one for a couple of weeks because it's important for me. Well, if it's important for me, I would imagine it's important for you too. At least it's something we need to discuss. Now, if this came out today, would it be read into the Congressional Record? I don't think so. I think it would be rejected. I mean, when you hear about, what's her name, AOC, Alexandria Ortiz, oh, you know who she is, saying that conservatives need to go to re-education camps. Isn't that communism? But yet, she's in Congress. To me, if I was in her district, I would say, now, wait a second. But yet, having been in the schools for 33 years, it's not education, it's indoctrination. But yet, is this any different from what the first apostles dealt with when they went out into the world to share the word of God in the Roman Empire? Criticism of the Roman Empire had a mandatory death sentence to it. So as Christians, the message many times carried a death sentence. Disagreeing with the Sanhedrin, that's the ruling body of the Jewish temple, without recanting, also carried a death sentence. Witnessing something different than the existing status quo carried a death sentence. You don't think the apostles knew this? Well, no, of course they did. But where they were concerned and apprehensive, yeah, I would think they would. Sorry, that wasn't too clear. But did they quit? No, they stood up for what they believed. When's the last time we stood up for what we believe? See, there's the thing. We believe it. We talk among each other here. But when do we stand up and say, wait a second, this is not right? But I think that example of the apostles is a great example for us to look at and emulate. And remember, the word apostle is the Greek word for messenger. So what message do we share? By the way, what's the Hebrew word for messenger? Angel. It's easy for us. What do? We wring our hands, we cry, we complain, we talk among each other. But, you know, our Baptist brothers, I think, sometimes are right. What would Jesus do? What would he have us do? Just accept it? Or do as Luther said, here I stand, I can do no other. This is wrong. You know, I started off today by teaching you a Russian phrase. My family came from Odessa, which in the time period they came from was actually called South Russia, not the Ukraine. Lived in a little village called Friedenstahl, which was a Jewish shtetl, okay? But it was Jewish and Lutheran. The one down the road was Jewish and Catholic, okay? After the 30 Years' War, and Catherine invited people from Germany to come in, we had all these little, it's called Volga Deutsch, German communities in Russia. Well, Friedenstahl I like, because Frieden in German is peace, Stahl is steel, so peace and steel. But also in Plattdeutsch, I found this very interesting, which is a form, bastardized form of German. It means in the belly of peace. Is that a good lesson for us today, to be in the belly of peace? Yes. Because peace is important to us. But then, so is what we believe based on the Bible. Now, my grandfather lived to be almost 90 years old. He was 89. In his back pocket. And it's just, he had a little copy of Luther's Small Catechism. He carried it with him all the time. It's not the one that's got what does this mean all stuff in it, but it had the basic parts. He read it every day, and he read it to us every day. Because to him, words had meaning. Does the Bible have words? Does it have meaning for us? Yes. But also, does the Constitution have meaning for us? It's just words. Does the Declaration of Independence have meaning? Yes. So between the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and the Bible, those are three collections of words that have guided my life. I think when we look at the witness of the original apostles who stood up for what they believed, which is the salvation of Jesus Christ for all. That's all this is. And they lost their lives because they preached that ministry. But that's an important example for all of us. Well, in conclusion. In conclusion, I think it's amazing that we know so little about the men that turned the world upside down. I mean, look at the billions of people who follow the cross. Started by Jesus and 12 followers. Jesus prepared them, and God used them in a powerful way to alert the world to his good news that Jesus Christ had come into the world to save sinners, and that he gave his life on that cross for us. So these men gave their lives and died so that everyone could hear the good news that the forgiveness of sins is free to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and will be saved from eternal death. My friend, this is most certainly true.